Well, Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us this week, for the rain that you've given us, and now the sunshine that you've provided. A beautiful spring day, dear Lord, to worship you, the Creator, not the creation. And Lord, we thank you so much that we have the one true Word of God, that we know that we can hold in our hands, study, cherish it, love it, read it, and make it a part of our lives to memorize it and hide it in our hearts. We thank you for Jesus Christ who died for our sins, that we could be called joint heirs with Christ. And Lord, that you would be calling us brother. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done for us. Heavenly Father, now I pray that you would bless the teaching of your word. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, I pray, dear Lord, that you would have the free reign to do as you will. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. We've been studying about a line in the sand, talking about biblical principles, biblical convictions that we have that are based on the Word of God. And last week we began to look at versions of the Bible. Can you know which Bible is the real Bible? Is there information that you can know about that? Is there really any difference in the Bibles? And yes, the answer is definitely yes. Last week we looked at a number of different types of versions. We talked about the translations of the Greek language and how men have used that to their advantage and have distorted the Word of God. Today I'm going to spend the whole lesson on the New King James Version. There's a lot of discussion that the New King James Version of the Bible is just easier to read. And it's used in Baptist churches today. I don't know what kind of Bible you have today. I'm not picking on you today if you have one. But I'm going to show you what the New King James Bible is, how it's different from the King James Bible. And while we do not use from this pulpit and from these lecterns the New King James, but the King James, there is a difference. So today, with God's help, I'm going to show you that. And so, first off, I brought a New King James Version of the Study Bible. It's bound up with all the others. If you were here last week and you saw that, I don't study from this Bible. I don't read from this Bible. It is bound up until I teach this lesson. It's put in a bag and it's hidden in my office. I can't even see it. That's how much I do not want to see these Bibles or touch them. But in every translation of the Bible, they have a foreword or a preface. And it tells you why they have this Bible or why they wrote this Bible. And this is out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, readers of the Authorized Version, which is the King James Version, readers of the Authorized Version will immediately be struck by the absence of several pronouns. Well, wait a minute. Are we removing from the Word of God now? Are we changing the Word of God? You will be immediately struck by the absence of several pronouns. For example, thee, thou, and ye are replaced by the simple you, your, and yours, and are substituted for thy and thine as applicable. These pronouns are no longer part of our language, so they change the Word of God. You say, well, that's no big deal. We don't use thee, thou. Well, first off, when you open the Word of God and you study the Word of God and you see the these and the thous, if they start with that T, they're singular. When you look in the Word of God at the ye, that's plural. So, for example, in our English, if you're a student of English and of the grammar of English, when you're breaking down a sentence and looking at verbs and things of that nature and pronouns, the first person singular is I, then me, and my, and mine. Second person singular, third person singular, and so forth. Plural in the modern English is we, us, our, ours. Second person modern English, you, yours, you, you, and yours, or yours. They, them, their, and theirs. So what's the big deal? Exodus 16, turn there. Exodus 16, chapter 16 and verse 28. As you're turning there, I'm going to read you a quote. This is found in Vine's Expository Dictionary. When the second person plural pronouns are used separately from a verb, so the second person plural pronouns in our modern English is you and yours. That's what the New King James is using in their second person plural. In the Bible, they are, in the King James Bible, they are ye. You're like, well, it's no big deal. Yes, it is. If you're there in Exodus 16, 28, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" Is that what your Bible says? And it has the word ye in it, correct? Is God upset with Moses? What's ye? Plural. Plural. All right, this is the New King James Version. "And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" That sounds like God is upset with Moses. How long are you refusing to keep my commandments and my laws? In the King James Version, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments? Now we understand it was the people, not Moses, that God was upset with. Ye and you mean more than one person. Thee, thou, thy, thine, doeth, hast, only mean one person. You're like, okay, you're getting petty now. No. It gets worse. John 3, 7. Turn there, if you will. John 3, 7. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's talking about Jesus and His discussion with Nicodemus. And of course, we know, as we quote this verse often, "Now ye know that, marvel not that I said unto thee," what does it say, class? "Ye must be born again." What does ye mean? Plural. Is he telling just Nicodemus he needs to be saved and how to be saved by being born again? He's telling everyone that's either in earshot or will read this as it's printed through the centuries, "Ye must be born again." It's not just Nicodemus that needs to be born again. In the New King James, it says, "Nicodemus," what Jesus said was, "Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, all of you need to be born again." That's not what he's saying. I'm sorry, I missed my place. He says in the New King James, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, unto you must be born again." That changes the meaning of that verse. Yes, Nicodemus needed to be born again. But what about the rest of humanity? When the translators translated from the originals in the Old Testament of the Hebrew and in the New Testament in the Greek, it was a word-for-word translation. They did not paraphrase. They did not change meanings of words. They wanted to be as accurate as humanly possible. So if that word was plural in the Hebrew or in the Greek, they used a plural word in the English. Ye is plural. Ye must be born again means plural. So anytime when the second person plural pronoun, ye, are found in the Word of God in the King James Version and they're separated from a verb, they are frequently emphatic, especially when they are subjects of the verb. An emphasis is always to be noticed what's going on. Ye must be born again. How about in Matthew 5:13? We know it very familiarly is, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Well, what do you think the New King James does? "You are the salt of the earth." Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world." New King James, "You are the light of the world." It's a big difference. It's a very big difference. Well, you're saying that's petty. That's just petty. Okay. Let me really burst your bubble then. In the New King James, in the preface, it says, and I quote, "Students of the Bible applaud the timeless devotional character of our historic Bible. Yet it is also universally understood that our language, like all living languages, has undergone profound change since 1611. Subsequent revisions of the King James Bible have sought to keep abreast of changes in the English speech. The present work," New King James, "the present work is further step towards this objective where obsolescence and other reading difficulties exist. Present day vocabulary, punctuation, and grammar have been carefully integrated." Where obsolescence, they're saying there is obsolete words in the King James Bible. So that's what that says. I'm going to show you what they say is an obsolete word. Turn with me. Let's turn to Matthew. I'm just all over this today. Matthew chapter 16. The New King James clearly claims to make the Old King James clear. We're trying to make the King James clear by updating obsolete words. So, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, very familiar portion of Scripture. Why change this verse? "And I say unto thee," Jesus is speaking to Peter, "and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's a very clear verse. And boy, does it have deep meaning. God is not building the church on Peter. But boy, our friends in other denominations have changed that to mean that. God's building His church. But in the New King James, there is an obsolete word in this verse. And it's been changed 22 times in the New Testament. The obsolete word that is Old English, no longer needed, and we need a more up-to-date word, is the word hell. Hell is an obsolete word. You know that? It's been changed 22 times in the New King James Bible. So their Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You know what the dictionary says about the word Hades? It's the underground abode of the dead in Greek mythology. They're sort of calming that verse down a little bit, aren't they? Changing the meaning of that verse. So, well, I can live with that one. Okay, Luke 16:23. Again, I'm going to very familiar portions of Scripture. We could look at all 22 references, but we don't have time. Luke 16:23. Of course, this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We're just going to pick it up in verse 23. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Again, hell has been replaced as an obsolete word. And it says in the New King James, "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Revelation 1:18. King James says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." My Savior has the keys to hell. My Savior has the keys to death. And of course, in the grave, and it says another portion of Scripture. In the New King James, it says, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." That doesn't say the same thing to me. And of course, we could look at numerous other references. 22 times it's changed. But then in the New King James, they decide maybe Hades needs to be an obsolete word too in this one place. So they change Hades in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. Most of you, again, know this verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? They say, well, grave is... I'm sorry. They say, O death. Death is an obsolete word here in this verse. So they don't replace it with grave or death. They place it and say, O Hades. I'm sorry, again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, the grave, the word grave is there changed to Hades. O Hades, where is your victory? No. I have victory over the grave. I hope you have victory over the grave. I know this body is going to the grave one day. But I have victory over the grave because I know I'm not staying there. Obsolete word, grave. Another one of these obsolete words is the word found in Matthew 21 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 21. This word has been replaced 13 times in the New Testament. Matthew 21 and verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The word repent or repented is an obsolete word in the New King James Bible. They say we need to use the word relent. Or remorseful, or irrevocable. Repent. We must repent to come to Christ. I don't need to be remorseful. Well, we would be remorseful, but we need to repent. We need to turn from that lifestyle of sin to Christ. Repent. 13 times in the New Testament it's been changed to either relent, remorseful, or irrevocable. How about the word New Testament? Obsolete word. It's changed. Just like the NIV, the NRSV, the RSV, the NASV, they don't have New Testament either. The New King James says, well, we're not like those other versions. But they change New Testament and they change it the same to New Covenant. So, well, we could go with that. It's still changing the Word of God. What is wrong with New Testament? It's found in Matthew 26, 28, Mark 14, 24, Luke 22, 20, 1 Corinthians 11, 25, 2 Corinthians 3, 6, Hebrews 9, 15. How about the word damnation or damned? That's obsolete. It's not proper English. We don't use that word anymore. So we're going to change it, says the New King James. They say a much clearer word, just like the NIV and the RSV and the NRSV and the NASV, they change it and replace it to the word condemned. Now, I can be condemned, and I can probably get away with something or be condemned is nowhere as near as serious as the word damned or damnation. Damned is eternal. Damnation is eternal. One can be condemned and not damned. Look with me in John 5. In John 5 and verse 29... The King James Bible says, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's eternal punishment. No chance of coming out of that. In the New King James, it's to the resurrection of condemnation. That's changing the Word of God. Same thing in Mark 16:16, and in 2 Thessalonians 2:12. You know, the Word, and Tyson told me this from a teen in teen church that Tyson had, that the word demon or demons is not in the King James Bible. I had to go search that. And he's right. It is not in the King James Bible, the word demon or demons. But in the New King James, the word devils is not in the New King James. They replace it with the word demons. The word only mentioned one time in the Scriptures is in 2 Timothy 2:15. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are told by God to study His Word. That is the only time in the Scriptures that the word study is found in this Greek word. New King James says that's an obsolete word, and they totally remove it. They don't add another word in its place, they just remove it. They say, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That changes that verse completely. How about the word virtue? That's an obsolete word. Do you know that? Virtue. And they make it more clear by replacing it with the word power. That doesn't make sense to me. And that's talking about when the woman touched the hem of Christ's garment and the virtue, he knew the virtue went out of him. It's the power went out of him. But one of the most shocking changes, and it contradicts Scripture with Scripture, is found in Romans chapter 6. I wish we had time to really just spend some time on each of these. Romans chapter 6. Look with me in verse 22. Romans 6:22. I want you to see this with your eyes. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." And of course, 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In verse 22, there is a word they say is obsolete and needs to be replaced, and it's the word servant. You're like, "Oh brother, where are they going to come up with this word to be replaced with?" It's worse. It is a horrible changing of the Scriptures. It says, "But now being made free from sin and become slaves to God." I am not God's slave. I am God's servant. And what I'm going to show you is it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's," what does your Bible say? "Free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." Each time the word servant there in the New King James, it's slaves. So, the New King James says something like this: "For he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's free man." Well, that's a contradiction. "Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's slave." What does John 8:36 say? Anybody know? John 8:36. The Word of God says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We are not God's slaves. We are not God's robots. We are been called as servants to God. We are to serve God through our love for God. For it tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Let me show that to you. 5:13. The Word of God says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Does a slave serve out of love? No. A servant serves out of love because of what our master has done for us. If you think the New King James just innocently changed obsolete words, removed some obsolete pronouns, in the 1982 edition of the New King James, in the preface, it says, "It is clear that this revision required more than the dropping of ETH endings, removing these and thous, and updating obsolete words. It is clear that this revision required," there were required changes from the King James Version. Here's a sampling of the required changes, and I've got pages. I'll just read a few. In Genesis 22:8, one of the greatest verses in the Bible proclaiming that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. The Word of God says, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." The New King James adds a word. The New King James adds the little word "for." F-O-R, "for." God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That destroys the promise of God. In Ezra 8:36, the King James reads, "And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants." Lieutenants, a obsolete word. It's a difficult word to understand, says the New King James. We need to change it. So the much clearer word is, "And they delivered the king's orders to the king's satraps." I don't even know what a satrap is. And if somebody asked me how to spell it, I'd have a hard time. But that's a much clearer word, says the New King James. Who in the world thinks satraps is more clear than lieutenants? Well, the NIV does. The NASV does, the NRASV does, the RSV does, and the New King James does. Matthew 7:14. Look at this verse. Matthew 7:14. "Because straight is the gate," right? "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Narrow is the way. No, difficult is the way. That's what they say. Difficult is the way. There's nothing difficult about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But they say difficult is the way. Matthew 18:26, the New King James removes the worship hymn. Turn there, Matthew 18, you're close. Matthew 18 and verse 26. I knew I was going to run out of time. Matthew 18, verse 26. "The servant therefore fell down," it will be slave. "The slave therefore fell down. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." This is talking about the law of forgiveness. Where it says, worshiped him, that's been removed. That's robbing Christ of worship. Because that is definitely a picture of Christ and His forgiveness. In John 1:3, "All things were made by Him." That's what our Bible says. All things were made by Him. New King James. All things were made through him. No. By him. That's correct. 1 Corinthians 1:21. We must look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Very familiar portion of Scripture. We use it often. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. They changed this from foolishness of preaching to foolishness of the message preached. Same thing with the NIV and RSV and so forth. There's nothing foolish about the message of the gospel. But they have said in their Bible, foolishness of the message preached. They're saying the gospel is foolish. The message is foolish. Philippians 2:16. Thought it not. I can't just jump in the middle. Philippians 2:16. Philippians 2:16, the King James says, King James Version of the Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. Who's that talking about? Verse 5, Christ Jesus. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, the New King changes that to say, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. That robs Jesus Christ of his deity. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money, you know where this is going, right? The love of money is what, class? Root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil. No, that's difficult. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The words kind of are not found in the Greek text. They have added words to the Bible. What does Revelation 22 tell us? They're accursed. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. They remove the love of God. 1 John 5:13. The New King James, let's turn there. 1 John 5:13. I got to stop. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. We use this verse when we're trying to help people understand assurance of salvation. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It says in the New King James, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. They add continue to. That is not found in any Greek text whatsoever. It's not even in the NIV or the RSV or any of the other Vs. This is a cruel attack on the believer's eternal security. You're saying, oh, that's all well and good. That you haven't convinced me. That doesn't even scratch the surface of what they've done. The New King James removes the word Lord 75 times. The New King James removes the word God 54 times. The New King James removes the word heaven 53 times. And just the New Testament alone, the New King James removes over 2,000 words found in the King James Bible. The New King James makes over 100,000 word changes. And in my studies, which I've never seen before, in my studies, I have found where the New King James Bible does not use the Masoretic Hebrew text that all of Christendom agrees with. All of Christendom says the Masoretic text is the right text. They don't use the Masoretic text. This book is just a book. This is not the Word of God. This, for me, is the Word of God. Amen. The King James Version of the Scriptures for the English-speaking people of the world. This is the preserved, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I have drawn a line in the sand, and I will not budge on that. This is my Bible. This is my book. This is the Word of God. And I pray just a little glimpse in these few weeks have helped you to say, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I will not change. I am going to stick with the fundamental of the faith of the King James Version of the Bible. Lord, we love you today. I know I just touched the surface. And I pray, dear Lord, for those that are interested, that want to study this, I can give them some guidelines to where to go. I have just barely scratched the surface of what has happened in all of these versions, all of these translations. We have the Word of God. We don't need anything else. I pray that you would help us to study it, to love it, to live it, to read it, to cherish it, to make it a part of our lives, to share it with others. Help us to take a stand, dear Lord. Help us never, in this property, help us never to budge on the Word of God. For that is the downfall of ministries when they compromise on the Word of God. Help us, Lord, in this place. Bless our pastor. Bless the next service. In Jesus' name.